It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, a conversation about worker safety regulation and why it matters.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was a long time before I could say that prayer again, because every time I went to say it, I heard the panic in my son's voice.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. According to the Occupational Health and Safety Administration, or OSHA, website, on average, about 14 people a day in the United States are killed while working. This weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia explores how weak regulatory laws and a failure to prioritize worker safety may be contributing to more deaths and a higher risk of workplace accidents. This morning, we'll hear a preview of the episode. Roxy Todd talks with investigative reporter Howard Berkus, who recently retired from NPR after working for nearly four decades reporting on worker safety. Just a word of warning, this conversation includes some very tragic content.
You've covered in the past a number of different government entities that regulate and try to keep people safe. Can you talk a little bit about what you've covered in the past? Let's start with your grain bin series that you did a few years ago for NPR.
That was a series in which we found that there have been, over the years, around 500 workers who died horrific deaths in grain bins. You know, grain bins aren't a workplace that you think of as dangerous, and certainly that it's not something that many people outside of farm country are aware of. But there's great danger involved in going into a grain bin filled with grain, especially corn, because that grain acts like quicksand if it starts to flow while a worker is in the bin. You can go under in seconds and suffocate very quickly. And what we did was we investigated these deaths that have occurred. 2010, we found, was the worst on record for fatalities in grain bins. And so, you know, we decided to look into that. Why was that happening? Given that there were fairly strong regulatory rules that applied to grain bins.
And let's play a little tape from one of the first parts of this series. You talk to people about a really emotional death that happened where a young teenager actually died in one of these grain bins.
This was an incident in 2010, the one, again, the worst year on record. And this was the worst incident of that year in which two teenage boys were trapped and died. And a third was also trapped and witnessed their deaths. This section of the story begins with Will Piper describing what happened to him and his friends in that bin.
It created a quicksand effect, and Wyatt ended up getting caught up in it and started screaming for help. Me and Alex went in after him, and we each grabbed one side of him under his armpits and started dragging him out, and got pretty close to the edge of the quicksand, and then we started sinking in with him. Wyatt went under, and then me and Alex kept sinking deeper and deeper up to our chest, completely just trapped in the corn.
It was about 10 a.m. when another friend and worker frantically called for help.
I'm on it.
911, what's your emergency?
Hi, I have a person stuck in a hole in a grain bin out at the mill in Mount Carroll, Illinois.
Okay, give me your address.
Matt Schaffner, the supervisor of the facility, desperately tried to dig, but the kernels just flowed back in. So he climbed out of the bin to guide arriving rescuers. Alex Pakas screamed he didn't want to die.
One last chunk of corn came flowing down and went around his face, and I still had one arm free, and I tried to sweep it away from his face as much as I could, and eventually there was just too much, and after a little bit, his hand was sticking up above the grain, and I could just see his scalp, and his hand stopped moving. And the corn was up to my chin at that point.
The first rescuer appeared, harnessed and tethered to keep from sinking. He held a 5-gallon bucket with the bottom cut out.
He slammed it down to my shoulders and scooped all the corn to get it away from my face so I could breathe. I didn't think they'd be able to get me out of there because the pressure was just so great.
Emergency radio traffic buzzed with pleas for help.
Oh my God, we need everything. Grain bags, K-12 blades to cut into the bin.
We need approximately 12 semis for unloading grain.
Can you have them go to Eastland Seed and pick up their grain tube? Pick up the grain tube from Eastland Seed.
Rescuers pounded a plastic grain tube into the corn and around Alex and Will. They then used grain vacuums to extract the kernels inside the tube with the teens.
After about an hour went by, they had uncovered Alex's face. And then after a couple more hours, his whole body was exposed. And I actually had to lean in and hug him so they could vacuum out behind me. And they got it down to at my waist and tried pulling me out. And that wasn't working. So they had to keep vacuuming.
Will was trapped for 6 hours before he was finally freed. It took another 6 hours to find Wyatt's body in the corn.
Carroll County from command.
Go ahead, command.
Carroll, will you mark time all rescue complete?
10-4, command.
The dusty bodies were brought out long after dark, skin pockmarked like golf balls from the pressure of the corn. At a church nearby, Annette Pockus brushed Alex's black hair and used a wet cloth to wipe away the filth. Will later told her about her son's final moments.
He prayed the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was a long time before I could say that prayer again, because every time I went to say it, I heard the panic in my son's voice as he was saying that prayer. It's one of the things as a mom that I've really struggled with, is that my son died in terror. He didn't die in peace. He died in terror. And it didn't have to happen.
What that heart-wrenching scene and incident does is it grounds us in the horrific human loss that takes place if we're not vigilant with regulations. I mean, regulations exist for a purpose. They exist to keep workers safe. They need to be stronger in order for them to do the job they're designed to do. And regulators need to be as rigorous as possible in order for workers to be protected.
Howard, thanks so much for all your reporting. Howard Berkus has just retired from NPR. He worked for 38 years as an investigative journalist. Howard, thanks for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
Howard Berkus was speaking with Roxy Todd. You can hear a longer version of their conversation in this week's episode of Inside Appalachia, Sunday morning at 7, and again Sunday evening at 6, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Areas of fog this morning, becoming partly sunny today. There's a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms in the south and east, highs in the 80s. Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 50s and 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with highs in the 80s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport, CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at JaegerAirport.com. And by Black Bear Burritos in Morgantown, serving craft beer and meals prepared in-house while supporting music and the arts in West Virginia. Online at blackbearburritos.com. Eclectic folk group His Golden Messenger appears on this week's encore broadcast of Mountain Stage. The band worked their way through songs from the album Hallelujah Anyhow, as well as this tune from their 2013 release, Haw.
Yes, let me be the one-on-one. Why let me love the one-on-one? Why the creatures with their focus on mine? Won't let me be the one-on-one. Oh, Lord, let me be happy. Be happy. Oh, Lord, let me be happy. Yes, oh Lord, let me be happy. Be happy, oh Lord, let me be happy. Why say whatever prayer you want, and whatever darkness you endure, just over on your whole world. Oh, let go. Be happy, oh Lord, let me be happy. Yes, oh Lord, let me be happy. Be happy, oh Lord, let me be happy.
That was His Golden Messenger live on Mountain Stage. To hear the full performance and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.